You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Wednesday, December 14th. We're talking Cardinals baseball today with our Cards reporter, Jennifer Langosch. Jennifer, thank you for the time, as always. And the big story, the big signing, no secret, Dexter Fowler coming from the Cubs to the Cardinals. 5 years, 82.5 million reasons to be happy if you're Dexter Fowler right now. And, Jen, I want to know from you, were the Cardinals ever in any kind of danger whatsoever of losing Fowler's services to another team, or was it pretty much a foregone conclusion all along that at some point the two sides were going to come together?
Yeah, I mean, Dexter Fowler was the Cardinals' first choice going into the offseason. I actually spoke with General Manager John Mozeliak on this topic a few days ago, shortly after the signing was announced, and he was the guy that they had targeted. Now, what changed there kind of leading up to the signing was that as the Cardinals started seeing other options come off the board, first Ian Desmond going to sign with the Rockies, Adam Eaton getting traded from the White Sox to the Nationals, a player that the Cardinals had engaged in some trade discussions with. All of a sudden, that's when they realized that, you know, there was the possibility that Dexter Fowler could slip from their grip, per se, with so few options left and teams still needing to address their own voids. But the Cardinals all along felt very comfortable with Dexter. They knew that they had the financial flexibility to go very high in terms of what they were able to offer and still be comfortable where that leaves their payroll. So that gave them great flexibility there. And ultimately, they really desired to address this need through the free agency market because of what they were seeing with the demands in the trade market. And this was a team that did not want to lose Alex Reyes, and it did not want to lose a kind of a glut of other prospects. So it was the best fit all along, and Dexter Fowler seemed to feel at home here in St. Louis when he came. His family was excited about it. Obviously, the dollars probably help in that. But no, it didn't seem like a great market evolved for his services, but certainly the Cardinals were hopeful of acting before the holidays and getting this deal done.
And I know that part of the motivation to get Fowler signed was to, you know, plant him in center field, not have to worry about that, and to therefore move Randall Grichuk to a corner outfield spot. Was that part of the plan, and how does the rest of the outfield shake out, assuming that, you know, Fowler is your everyday starting center fielder?
Yeah, with the departure of Matt Holliday and Brandon Moss to a lesser extent, the Cardinals had an obvious void there to fill in the outfield. And when they looked back at kind of what went wrong in 2016, in many ways it started with the defense. And the Cardinals wanted to create a team that was going to be more athletic, that was going to be more defensively sound. And even, you know, on the offensive side, maybe a lineup that allowed for a little more versatility, a little more speed on the bases, the ability to go first to third on a single, some of the things that we didn't see from this club this year. So by signing Dexter Fowler, the Cardinals were able to move Randall Grichuk, as you noted, to left field, which was really their ideal scenario all along. Randall Grichuk profiled as a fine center fielder, an average center fielder, but he profiled as an above average defensive left fielder, especially when you compare over the ground he'll be able to cover compared to, you know, what Matt Holliday has been able to cover during his tenure here with the Cardinals. So they upgraded their defense substantially in left field. You know, Dexter Fowler, there's some debate about how good of a center fielder he is. The defensive metrics essentially say he too is an average center fielder, but when you flank him with Randall Grichuk on your left and Stephen Piscotty, who by all accounts is building himself to be an above average right fielder, the Cardinals believe they have much better outfield coverage in general across the board than they did a year ago. You couple that with what Dexter Fowler can then do to change the dynamic of the lineup by becoming a new leadoff hitter, and I think that's another element to this that's very big for the Cardinals, who, again, kind of wanted to change the identity of the offense they had last year.
And, Jen, at this time last year, you know, lest we forget that Dexter Fowler was available for the taking, too. You know, again, at this time last year, he goes back to the Cubs on that one-year deal and proved a valuable, very valuable piece in their world title run. Was there any discussion, any thought at this time last year to the Cardinals bringing in Fowler, or did they think that they were kind of set with their outfield as it was at that time and they really didn't explore that possibility?
Yeah, they didn't really explore it, and it's a little bit surprising because you remember back at this time last year, too, the Cardinals had just wrapped up a very hard pursuit for Jason Hayward, who they thought could really change the look of their outfield, and when Hayward ended up signing with Chicago, Cardinals all of a sudden fell back to being very content with Piscotty in right field. Of course, they had Matt Holliday still to play left field, and they liked the idea of Randall Grichuk to be emerging as a center fielder. I mean, Grichuk was a guy who in the minor leagues won a Gold Glove Award as a center fielder. He was believed to be a pretty advanced defensive player. So they wanted to give him the opportunity and weren't necessarily in love with the idea of bringing Fowler in and potentially blocking Grichuk as a result. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because hindsight is 20/20. Had the Cardinals gone after Fowler last year and made, you know, a respectable offer, probably could have gotten him for a lot less than they ended up spending this year to get him because of the year he's coming off. But circumstances change for this team. Again, they got to look at Grichuk in center, think that he profiled better long-term in left field, and then that's what opened the need to get another center fielder in here.
And I just learned that they give out gold gloves in the minors. I had no idea. How long has that been going on?
That I don't know, but he did win a gold glove award when he was in the Angels system. Carson Kelly was the most recent Cardinal, for another factoid of the day, to win one in the Cardinal system, winning it at catcher a couple years ago.
Very interesting. You learn something new every day. How about that? So, Jen, one thing I found interesting is that the Cardinals last year were actually third in the majors in on-base percentage from the leadoff spot. That surprised me a little bit, I'll be honest. Now, the Cubs were first. That's no surprise. Obviously, Dexter Fowler had a huge role in that. But because the Cardinals already have a great leadoff hitter in Matt Carpenter, he was the big reason why the Cardinals ranked third. Any possibility that maybe Carpenter stays there, Fowler becomes a two-hole hitter, and they have, you know, for lack of a better term, two leadoff hitters at the top of that lineup?
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are going to go all in with Dexter Fowler atop their lineup, at least to start things off in 2017. And it's really, you know, this has been debated here for several years by the organization, this idea that Matt Carpenter can be such a dynamic presence at the top of the lineup. As you mentioned, how, you know, over the last several years, is one of the best on-base percentages of any leadoff hitter in the game. And yet we also see from Matt Carpenter this emergence of power, not just in home runs, but in extra base hits. He is oftentimes you look up and he's leading the team in OPS. And so this idea that maybe he can fit in a run production spot has always been very appealing to the organization as well. So the thought right now is by putting Fowler in the leadoff spot, you have a high OBP guy that can get on base, a guy who's quicker than Matt Carpenter, who can run the bases a little bit better, maybe steal a base from time to time. Again, take that extra base, but maybe Carpenter couldn't. And then right behind him, you stack the lineup actually with three other pretty high on-base guys in Aledmys Diaz, Matt Carpenter, and Stephen Piscotty. That would be my projected order, but I think, you know, in some order, those would be the next three. So all of a sudden, you have a really good-looking top of the lineup where I think you're going to see hitters really work pitchers. Those are guys who see a lot of pitches per at-bat, guys who can find their way on base and then set things up for the middle of the lineup. So it'll be interesting to see how Matt Carpenter adapts, because in the short sample size that we've had in the past, when he's hit second or third, he hasn't performed as well as he has in the leadoff spot, which you wonder if there's any correlation there. But again, the opportunity for him to maybe drive in more runs instead of set the tone is something that the Cardinals are interested in exploring.
Yeah, no matter how it shakes out, to have that 1-2 punch of Dexter Fowler and Matt Carpenter at or near the top of that lineup is going to pay huge dividends for the Cardinals in 2017. And Jen, I got to think too, even though, you know, nobody would like admit this in front of a hot microphone, but from the Cardinals end, but after watching John Lackey and Jason Hayward leave the team, go to the Cubs, win a World Series, they now get a guy from that World Series winning team who was a major part of their lineup, who's now, you know, crossed the Mason-Dixon line of this rivalry. How good does that have to feel, not just for the fans, but for the team too, even though it's probably something they wouldn't admit readily?
Yeah, I think there is a hint of sweet revenge there, and also maybe some relief in that players still do want to come to St. Louis, too. I mean, there was so much spoken last year about how players, you know, were all drawn to Chicago, and maybe St. Louis is no longer the destination that the Cardinals have believed it to be for a long time. Of course, money is always going to speak, and if you outspend, players are going to come. But, I think this reaffirmed both to the organization and to the fan base that this is still a desirable destination. And to be able to get a player who was a cornerstone piece on a world championship team, a player who can now bring some of the energy of that environment from that clubhouse and maybe inject a little bit into a Cardinals clubhouse that last year, quite frankly, got a little bit stale, I think it's very refreshing. So, yeah, certainly I don't think the Cardinals are going to come out and maybe grin about how, you know, what they were able to do in taking away Dexter Fowler. But I think inside there was a little bit of a feeling of, hey, now we got you back for what you did last year.
Yeah, some internal glee, internal grinning on the side of the Cardinals, and who could blame them? Jen, to wrap up here with Christmas just 11 days away, that's frightening. What would you like to see underneath the Cardinals' Christmas tree? One or two dealings, transactions that you'd like to see for them?
Yeah, you know, I believe that the Cardinals are probably just about done with their offseason shopping, aside from any depth moves. But I would be very intrigued to see them kind of go big and maybe make a surprise and go after one of these slugging first basemen that are still on the market, maybe a guy by the name of Edwin Encarnacion. And, you know, I know a lot of this will certainly depend upon the market that he has, or Mark Trumbo being another option. But if the demands drop, if the years needed to get a contract done drop, it'd be very intriguing for the Cardinals to bring in somebody like that that could change the middle of your order behind all these on-base guys that we just spoke about. If you have Matt Carpenter's flexibility to move to another place in the infield, I think that could be intriguing. So, you know, I'm not sure it's something that the Cardinals are going to explore very heavily. But again, if the market kind of changes in their favor, could be a very nice way for the Cardinals to finish this offseason with a surprise and a bang.
Yeah, no doubt. Fans probably shouldn't hold their breath on that one, but you never know. Like you said, if the price tag comes down a little bit, maybe after the new year on a guy like Trumbo or Encarnacion, as you mentioned, John Mozeliak might strike and send shockwaves through baseball. Time will tell. Jennifer Langosch, a pleasure as always. We'll do it again at some point soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.